All right. Chair Jennifer Campbell is present. Alder Uygar is present. Alder Martinez Rutherford is excused. Alder Harrington McKinney is not here. Angela Jones is present. Tiffany Malone is present. Megan Miller is present. And Matt Fair is present. And then, Chair, back to you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks all committee members who are here today. We will dispense with the icebreaker until next time when Alder McKinney is here with us because we all know each other so well. I'm going to start off. May I please have a motion to approve the minutes from April 3rd? I see Angie Jones with the motion, Matt Fair with the second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we will do unanimous consent. Anybody with objections can let me know now. Hearing none, they are approved. Next up, public comment. Staff, do we have anybody from the public who would wish to comment tonight?
We do not.
Great. Fantastic. Next up, disclosures and recusals. Anybody needs to tell us anything before we move forward? No. Okay, great. We're clear for business. First up, the new business. We have a rental rehab loan. May I get a motion? One from Angie Jones, a second from Megan. Thank you, Megan. And with that, Lynette, you're taking it.
I am taking it. So first of all, so excited to see you guys again. It's been a while. I will say I believe that it will be announced soon that I will be back permanently with you guys by at least this summer. So it's been a while, but I'm glad to come back to CDD. And I also want to say a happy belated birthday to Matt Fair. Because his birthday was this week, so have to recognize that. All right. And so now
I'm sorry, I'm just going to interject. Does that mean we also wish you a belated birthday because you share a birthday with Matt Fair?
it's so easy to remember.
I think that's
All
what
right.
she was going for.
Yeah. All right. So our rental rehab application. So just want to do a reminder. So we have a rental rehab program. The program is outside of a regular RFP process. It's really targeted to private property owners within the city of Madison who are making kind of small, sometimes smaller scale, energy improvements on the housing for health and quality kind of standards. It goes up to 20 units. So that's why we call it one of our smaller scale programs, is because it's the max that they can receive. If it's between 13 and 20 units is 200,000. How we set up the program is that an application would come to us. We would vet it under the underwriting guidelines that this committee approved. And then we would bring back those approved applications from staff side just to be once again vetted by the committee to make sure that we are following the underwriting guidelines that you guys established. So what we are voting on today is a rental rehab application for a two unit. So they would be getting up to 75,000 because that is what is available for one to six housing units. We have adequate funding in this program still because at this point, we have actually only closed two rental rehab deals so far. So we are also, just to let you know, kind of reevaluating this program. We are trying to reach out to hear from constituents of what's working and what's not working. And in future months, we're going to bring the program back with maybe some suggested changes that we're hearing to see if there's some better utilization. But as of right now, the budget authority is there to approve this $75,000. And we would put a mortgage and a note on the property. And then help the home buyer or the property owner. They're looking to replace some existing decks, looking to replace the roof, And then if the budget allows, just some interior work of a fireplace and taking down a wall as well. Happy to answer questions.
Great. Thanks, Lynette. Any questions from the committee? Angie?
Sorry. Yeah, I just had a couple of questions, and it really was just coming down to kind of a little bit of the math that was in there. So I know that the rent for the two properties is like $2,750, but he only is claiming like $495.59 in terms of income. And so I was just curious, is the mortgage the difference between what he's claiming and what they're actually or what he's actually recording in terms of income, or do you know what that is or why it's so such a tiny income from the two rental apartments?
So you're saying, so the current rent for both of them, they're about 1400. That's what he's getting for current rent, 1400.
Yeah, I thought in the application it said 2,750 for the two apartments. And then he's recording like he had, when you look at the income portion for the rentals, it was less than $500. And I was just wondering where that additional money was.
Sure. So I'm looking at this now. I just want to see where you're looking on the application. So of the current rent, we have for both of the units together. And are you looking on the first page?
I was looking on that second page. Yeah, I think when you add those two up, it comes to 2,750. Yeah.
And you're comparing that to, sorry, I just want to.
Nope, keep going. And there's like a page where he's like reporting his income. Keep going.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So yes, I would say that so he has expenses, right? You're putting money into reserves, you are putting money into your, obviously the other debt service, the other mortgages and so that forth that's on. There is, I think that is his kind of net income when we're looking at that. He could potentially also have, when it says other income here, could own other properties, right? So overall, what we're doing in this section in looking at their gross salary is, which is their private income outside of their from the rental property. Overall, is there enough to cover the installment loans of our deal. So remember, our deal is an installment loan that they will have to pay back. And this gives us confidence that there is enough between his private income and what he is claiming as that other income, that there is enough available to pay back their installment loan to us.
Okay, thank you. That really helps. And then I just had one other question. I believe it was up above in the application. It's just kind of written in a $500 charge, and I just was wondering what that was.
Yeah, so that's the title company.
The
When
title
we when,
company.
yep, so when we close on deals, especially when we're putting a lien on a property, we are closing with a title company because they are one making sure that, especially when you're putting a lien, the title is clear, or telling us what other kind of liens might be on that property as well and where we fit in those liens. And then they're also holding those funds in escrow for us. And so that helps us pay for the draws that need to be done. And so the title company does a lot of work of getting those lien waivers from all of the contractors to make sure that no mechanical liens will happen on the property after the fact. So they're really doing a bulk of that work of ensuring invoices are paid and contractors do lien waivers once the work starts.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that explanation. I understand that. And then I'm really sorry. One last
Keep going.
question.
Keep going.
The $44,000 price tag for the two decks, can you explain to me is what type of decks those are? That just seemed really high in terms of replacement of a deck. I know we just replaced like all the condos in my area, and my deck and my neighbor's deck was not that much. So I'm just wondering what all was in that. And please tell me too if I'm just being a little too nitpicky. I'm just trying to
Actually, that's with materials
understand the
alone.
application and understand more of, you know, what we are paying for and giving him the dollars for.
Yep, and Alder Conklin previously had asked us to include bids. So bids are attached with the application as well, and I think because she kind of was wondering some of that as well. I will say we do require everyone to go out and get three bids
Okay.
when we're doing. So we look at when we're contracting to make sure that we are getting a fair price. So overall, it looks like it's composite decking, preferred railing. I'm not a deck expert, but I'm
Okay.
reading
I know what
what we
that means
posted.
though. Yeah. I know because I remembering from the different quotes and things that we had. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about then. No worries. Yeah. So there were other bids, and this was just the lower bid of the ones that you all received. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Angie. Any other questions or comments from committee members? Scrolling, seeing none. We have a motion and a second on the table. We'll take it. Oh, Tiffany, my bad. It was an accident.
No,
Okay.
that was prior from the deck situation, but we're good.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. So we do have a motion and a second on the table. Tiffany's not intervening there, and so we will take it by unanimous consent. Any objections? Let me know now. I see none. I hear none. It was passed. Next up, Eastmoreland Community Center Community Facilities Loan. That was okay. Who wants to tell us about this? Gear
That'll
up.
be
I think
me.
it's an action item. Yes, John?
Yes, it is.
Okay, then I will take a motion, please, to get it on the table from Megan and a second from Alder. I think we do Johnny Landslide instead of Landslide John. I just think it has a better ring to it. So we'll take that. John Staffer, please present to us.
So the Eastmoreland Community Center applied to the community facilities loan. They are located on the east side, on Tulane Avenue, and they're looking to build a new community center that will provide space for different kinds of programming and organizations looking for space to serve a variety of different people and communities. We were bringing this resolution to the committee before it's introduced to Common Council because they do have a time crunch on getting their other financing committed. And so the resolution before you is that the CDBG committee recommends approval of a loan of up to $400,000 from the Community Facilities Loan Program to Eastmoreland Community Center or an affiliate LLC for the development of a new community center at 3565 Tulane Avenue in Madison. As a new construction project and under the CFL guidelines, we are able to provide financial assistance of up to $400,000 or 50% of the total eligible cost. This project is a $2.4 million project. And like I said, their goal is to provide a community center space in the east side, their east side neighborhood, and provide a home for programming that supports the surrounding neighborhood. So I can answer any more questions.
Great. Alder
Let's
Johnny
see.
Landslide has a question.
I'm sorry I brought that up, actually.
I'll let it go. I will.
Okay. The overall project, as I understand it, also includes 24 units of workforce housing. Is this part of that combined project, or is this just for the community center?
It is just for the community center. But
Okay,
you're right, it is part of a larger project that includes housing.
so could you just go into how we're taking security here. Is it just part of a larger, well, just since our
Oh.
loan is with respect to the community center and not the housing, I'm just trying to understand how this would be filed and what our collateral is, or if the property is being divided so it can be treated separately.
So we'll have a mortgage on their property, and I the LLC is Common Grace LLC, and they will own the housing and the community center building. And so the property is going to be all one, but we're only paying for the community center with our funds as the guideline. We don't pay for the housing through the CFL program.
Okay, but in filing the lien and the mortgage, it'll be applied to the whole piece of property.
Yes, it would.
Okay, that was what I was trying to understand.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, thank you. That was my question.
Thanks, Alder Uguera. Matt?
Thank you, Alder Uguera, asked one of my questions. But I guess another question is, will this, I don't know if you know this, John, but will this in I guess I assume this would increase their services and the number of people that they can serve. So will that mean that they will have to, up their staff and need more operating dollars? And I'm just kind of curious. I don't know if we fund any of their services through community services, but I'm just kind of curious how that changes things for them.
So we, as far as I know, we do not, through the community resources team, we do not fund their current community center operations, but they are planning to hire staff, so the facility will be staffed, and they're fundraising for that right now. They received, and I believe it's in the application, some grants for operations, but yeah.
And so who operates it currently? Is it it's the LLC, which is affiliated with the church?
It is affiliated, and the Eastmoreland Community Center will operate the facility.
Okay. I think that's all my questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Angie?
Thank you. And Alder Gruguere also had asked one of the questions that I have, and then that brought another question to mind. In terms of the housing component, I know you said that that was not available for them to be able to request for any assistance in terms of the housing that they are going to be building. But is there any way that the city might influence the housing portion that will be going up so that there might be some affordable housing slots? I'm thinking about, the families and individuals that are on our community's priority list, if there might be some influence there, or do you think that we might get an application at a later time when we have another RFP out that they might ask for some funding for the housing portion?
So my understanding is that they're looking at the housing part is as purely a workforce housing development, kind of targeting that 80% AMI, which would not meet our program guidelines for the in our housing programs. Yeah.
Yeah, so no influence, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angie. Any other questions or comments for John? Seeing none, we have the motion and the second, so we will vote silently as always. Everyone is in favor by failure to show an absence of negativity. So we are approved. And then I believe item number four, the CAPR update, is informational only because we approved it and now we're updating ourselves on it. I have that right?
Yes.
Oh, great.
So I was out running a half marathon with my mom in March. So I was not able to attend. And it sounds like there were, and I did end up watching the video of your March meeting as well, and saw that there were just some questions about overall the CAPR that at that time staff couldn't answer. And so Jim asked that I make sure I'm at this meeting so I can kind of go through the final CAPR and answer some of those questions. So first of all, I just want to comment that with the CAPR, it is just, it's an outcomes report. So it is the number that we report of final units completed, final number of people served, and so forth. We actually do not have to have it as an action item. We could have it as a discussion item. And I, some of the comments that were made at that March meeting was individuals felt uncomfortable voting on it at that time. But it's on the agenda because once we know what the numbers are of how we spent our federal funds, really, our federal funds are our CDBG, our home, and our ESG. This year, we did have some American Rescue Plan funds as well that kind of are noted in there of federal funds. But we do have to do public comment. So the point that HUD says is, okay, you do your CAPR, you get it out there, get it on your website, post it, make sure you're emailing out some people because we do want feedback on, hey, tell us why your numbers are low, or maybe you shouldn't continue funding that. And so it's really the point of the numbers is about having that discussion of why are some of those numbers low, why not? And then for us to tell HUD, here's the public comments that we got back also of those numbers. And so we appreciate the robust discussion that was had at that meeting, kind of going over those things. I will say when we are closing out a year, we focus very much on, again, the home, the CDBG, and the ESG, because that's the bare minimum of what we have to report to HUD. In the last few years, we have decided as staff to complicate our lives just a bit, but we want one place where we can show all of our outcomes, which means that we have slowly started to add things like affordable housing funds, the city levy. If we're funding something with, some other grant source that might be new to us, adding it into our spreadsheet. This has caused a little bit of, confusion in our spreadsheet world as we are, adding new programs in. So we are working on just kind of streamlining our internal spreadsheets of how we track this master database of all of the completions, so that again, our con plan and our action plan is really focused on how are you spending those federal funds? And then we're adding in now, and in addition, city levy, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. So we went through after that meeting in March and made sure that all of our projected numbers we're trying to be a little bit clearer of what we're spending when we're talking about federal funds versus city funds. And I think we had an internal staff discussion of even how can we make this chart better next year so that it is more visual and maybe we can like start looking at the difference between the federal and the city. So now I just kind of want to go through the chart and just kind of talk about some of the things that I heard questions of the CDBG from the March meeting. And also things that I kind of would have pointed out at that meeting as well. And Jim mentioned, I think in the March meeting, one of the things that's really kind of hard about this report when we're explaining like the work that we have done over the year is we're not allowed to backdate things into the database with HUD, which means that if we don't get a completion report in by December 31st, it didn't happen. Now, we could have something almost fully paid out and 95% done. But if that completion report is not in our database system, we do have to wait until the next year. So just kind of going through and explaining, some of our programs that we have, for instance, this first one of homeowners having housing rehabbed. So that a majority of that is our project home contract, working on our major and minor home repairs. And then we also fund the land trust and habitat. But while we expected 135, and it looks like we're only at a 76%, we have right now over 25 deals that are just not closed, which means that the work might be 90% done, haven't gotten the final paperwork from the home buyer. So overall, I would say, even though that says 76, we're actually much higher than that in the fact that those other deals, the 25 deals that we couldn't report, are still moving along, and we will probably within the next quarter or so be closing them out in our books. I think that's the on the very next one, especially with the rental units, same exact thing. The only completion report that we were able to kind of get in and close out for 2024 when it came to home funded units was MDC's The Lillian. So that was the 11 units. We have a very big project, which is Bayview, that we have not closed out yet. So Bayview, we are still working on those final details of those wonderful federal reports, like Section 3, where we're requiring contractors to make sure that they're, telling us every detail about the workers that we have to report. So once we get that final Section 3 report, we can say we have our completion data, and Bayview will be now on our 2025 CAPR report. Again, just going down to the homeowners. Again, we have a lot of between Madison Area Community Land Trust and Commonwealth. We have lease to purchase properties that are currently out there. And so we just are kind of following up, making sure that those are on the market, that those are getting rented, and that once we get that demographic data of who is going into those units, we will close those out and they would be on the 2025 report. Overall, again, looking at our, down payment assistance, our goal has been at that 40, but while our goal has been 40 for that CDBG and home, we really have been supplementing a lot more with city and state funds, and that really also just comes down to the program income that we end up getting on file. So we have a lot of financial controls that we have to report and kind of work on of having we love to have program income and a balance, but we also have to make sure we're spending it down. And so while our goal is to make sure we have like, about 40 federally funded down payment assistance programs, sometimes we're sitting on a state balance that's a little too high. We start funding a lot more things with state money. So we're in good standing with the state, and we're spending those state funds as well. So we balance all of that with just making sure, though, that we're at least hitting the number of how many, units are going out. Kind of skipping down to this one of public service in housing development. So you'll see a lot of NA sometimes on a line. Whenever you're seeing a lot of those NAs, that's a great example of where we don't actually have to report that to HUD. So it's not in our five-year con plan. It might be not in our action plan because we don't have to report that, but we're adding it in as staff because we're like, we just want one place that we can go to show all of the amazing work of our nonprofits. So in this case, for our fair housing, we are required to firmly furthering fair housing. You guys just approved that wonderful report. Thank you very much. And one of the ways that we do that is we contract with Milwaukee Fair Housing Council and doing some of our admin work for us. So they take complaints and they do seminars educating landlords, tenants about fair housing. So in that process of taking discrimination complaints, that's the section of they took at least 30 discrimination complaints during that last year and investigated them on our behalf. So and we don't actually have to report that to HUD because that's an admin function that HUD would say. But we like to know because we like to know what we're paying for. I'm just gonna skip down now to the next one that I would have said is like, whoa, what's happening? Red flag. And that is down at the job creation and small business assistance, where you see we did four loans in 2024, but we had zero jobs completed when we thought we would have 50. We have met with MDC. We did just get, again, we just didn't get a completion report in time. So we now have some new data of one of the loans meeting its goals, and we'll close it out and it'll be on the next year's report. But it takes usually 2 years for a business to create jobs once we give them a loan, because we're giving them the loan to expand their business. So the jobs usually aren't coming on day one. And so we're usually seeing that lag of about 2 years. So those four loans that we gave in 2024 most likely would be on like a 2026 CAPR report. So that means that what we're dealing with in 2024 are loans that most likely were made in 2021 or 2022 during pandemic time. And so we are actually, and I should say, MDC is actually working with a lot of those businesses who over time maybe did not meet their job creation. So that is a red flag one that we are talking to MDC of what are we going to do for those businesses that received loans during the pandemic and didn't end up creating the jobs that they needed to create. Again, we're having those conversations now and seeing if there's any like last hope that those some of those places maybe can still expand, because most of them are still open. Not all of them, unfortunately. Now just going down to the kind of neighborhood asset and building. This was another one that was kind of mentioned at that March meeting of asking like why there are zeros. And again, this is where work hasn't either a completion report hasn't come in or work hasn't started. For the 400,000 here and expecting to serve 8,600 people, that is a community facility loan that you all funded for River Food Pantry. So River Food Pantry is constructing a new food pantry that is going to serve a lot of people over the year, probably more than 8,000 people, really. But it is not done with construction yet. And so we cannot close it out and say that it's a completed thing on our CAPR until that construction happens. And they can tell us within the first quarter how many people that they actually served at the River Food Pantry. And same thing, the next line of the neighborhood and asset building, those are funds that we have provided out of the neighborhood plan that we are just starting to work with our parks departments and our traffic engineering to start some small capital projects that came out of the neighborhood plans. So really, especially right now, these two focus on South Madison, which we are working with parks and traffic engineering to increase and improve lighting in the parks. And then Hawthorne and Truex, which has a variety of things like new play equipment and exercise equipment at a school, and some general just kind of, again, capital improvement projects. We did pause again on those projects when we got the executive order about funding being cut. But we now are have them allocated, and we are planning to start moving forward with them. We expect those to be, you know, out the door with probably within the next couple of months to get those improvements going. So I would say, you know, overall, a lot of kind of the reporting on this is we like to say, like, we like to report that we spent out the money, because we do upfront pay for those costs and those invoices. And then we just have to wait for those completion reports to come in and follow up and do those things as well. Again, in future, we love to have these discussions though, asking us like, you know, about these percentages to say, should we continue funding X, Y, and Z? And also, we're going to work on just the visual of this chart moving forward. Because I think even we were like, this gets a little confusing, especially when we start adding all those other funding sources that we've just never had before. I am happy to answer any questions. So the caper was submitted, and within a week, HUD said great. I think one other question I did hear was like, does this report affect the funding we get? It does not. We're what we call a formula grant. So it really is the population of the city of Madison, the number of low to moderate income individuals we have in Madison go into our formula. What HUD uses this CAPR report for, though, is as they're evaluating it, they monitor and provide us technical assistance. So same as if you guys saw like low percentage scores, they might set up a meeting with us and say, hey, what's going on with your program? Do you need help from us? If we had staff available, we would come. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. But we really used to appreciate that technical assistance once we submitted the CAPR report to them.
Thanks, Lynette. Audrey, you there?
Thank you, Chair. Just a technical question that arose from your description of how staff has added the other funding sources than just the federal ones. So I noticed indeed in the column for source of funds on those charts, if it said city, for instance, that would be funds other than the federal funds.
Yes.
How you've indicated that. Now, in terms of the goals and achieved and percent accomplishment, are those just the ones for the federal funding, or does that also include the goals and achievements for the city funding?
Yeah, so for the percentages, it looks like we're right now just using those as the federal ones, because
Okay.
we in some of those lines we have not put like the expected year for the city programs. So that's where like let's use affordable. Let me share my screen again. I'll just use for instance when we're developing right here. So we have not created in our previous con plans, action plans, that expected annual number for like the affordable housing fund. So that's where you see a lot of those NAs. But it's something that we can consider in the future of again, as we're improving the look of this, what is our expected affordable housing fund, which is non-federal expectations each year. But you can see that yes, we at least closed 366 of the affordable housing fund units.
So, are there any in this process? And I thank you, I understand that. Do we have any projects where we have a mix of funds on the same projects?
Oh, yes.
And then what would be reported on the lines for those? Again, just the.
Yep. So when we could only so like I'm going to use again affordable housing funds and home, and that's because that's a great example. And Bayview would be one of those that would be a great example where we provide affordable housing funds and we have home units. When we put federal money though into a program or a project like that, we have a very strict number of like okay, 11 of the units are home units. Because we can't report those city funded units to the federal
Oh,
government.
okay.
So we have to be very strict of these are the federal units and these are the city units. That helps us in our reporting then.
Now I understand. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynette. Thanks, Audrey Aguirre. Angie?
Yeah, and I didn't really have a question, but just more of a comment. Thank you, Lynette, for that explanation. As I was going through it, I probably was one of the ones that was pretty critical. Is like, why is there zero here? I'm not understanding that. And but knowing that the CAPR is how you are reporting to HUD and other federal entities on the report, and then you're just adding in the other stuff so that you have one place to be able to look at all of the wonderful work that you all are doing. That explanation was great and answered all my questions, actually, that I had. So thank you so much for coming tonight and sharing that with me. And I hope you and your mom came in at a good number at your race.
I will say, I'm so happy to do it. My mom, I have to brag for a second. August 25th, we run our last half marathon, and that will be her 50th state. She's ran all 50 states, and so that will be my last half marathon. But I've been so grateful to be able to do this over the years with my mom.
Which state is the last day?
We're running in North Bend, Washington.
Nice. Any other questions on the caper or about Lynette's running? Seeing none. Thank you, Lynette. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that brings us to Jim Safport.
Yes, it does. Hi, everybody. I have just a couple of things I want to mention. First of all, I want to make sure that it's clear to you all that the Eastmoreland Community Facilities loan decision that was made tonight, that will now be put into a resolution that will be introduced to the council on May the 20th and will not come back to this committee. Your action tonight is basically rendering that decision prior to the presentation to the council of a resolution. So the resolution will get introduced on the 20th of May and then go back to the council again without coming back here. It'll go to the council on June 3rd for their final action. Just want to make sure that that was clear to you all. Second, as she mentioned, we are in community development. We are in receipt of a request from Lynette Rhodes to return to community development after a little time away. And we are considering that request. Hope to have a decision to share with you by the time of our next meeting. Wanted just to remind you all that probably within the next week, we are likely to release two important requests for proposals, one of them around home ownership, and the other around homeless services and housing resources. You've gotten a preview of both of those. We're putting the finishing touches on those and expect to release those, as I said, as early as next week. So that'll set the stage for fair amount of work that you all will be asked to do as responses to those come to us and are evaluated. And then, of course, still ahead is the RFP around tax credit rental housing development that'll follow just a little bit later this year. Next, we are watching with great interest developments around the federal budget process. You probably have seen references to proposals coming from the Trump administration that would eliminate funding for both the CDBG and the HOME programs. Not the first time that a Trump administration has put forward those kinds of proposals. We'll obviously be tracking very carefully what the Congress decides to do with those. And then finally, the city budget process is underway. And since this committee last met, the Community Development Division put forward to the mayor capital budget recommendations, which really mirror what was anticipated in the current year 5-year plan, what we call the current year CIP, the capital improvement plan. However, there's a lot of uncertainty around affordable housing and the housing market more generally. And so while we submitted recommendations that mirror what has previously been approved, We are asking for the opportunity to revisit funding decisions around affordable housing as we see what transpires in coming months around federal tariff policies, federal tax policies, federal immigration policies, all of which have the potential of impacting construction inflation rates, tax credit pricing. We're also very much aware that there are discussions likely to occur in coming months at the city level around our use of tax increment financing for affordable housing. And at the state level, I think I've mentioned this in the past, that could have significant impacts on what we do in affordable housing. So given that at the present time, there's more uncertainty than not affecting affordable housing, we decided to proceed with our current funding authorization levels, but have asked the mayor and perhaps later on in the year, the Common Council, to leave the door open for potential changes, especially around affordable housing. So that is, I think that's all that I wanted to share tonight.
Thanks, Tim. Good information to know. Any questions or comments from the committee members? Angie?
Just a quick question. I thought I saw something go out about public comment around the city budgets. Was I mistaken in that? And do you know what the dates of those are? Could those get sent out to all of us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've just returned. In fact, I just returned earlier today. I've been away for a week. I do know that there were public meetings and public input sessions being scheduled. I do think that one was scheduled around community development issues, or that would include community development issues. I don't have today, Lynette might, what date was settled on for that meeting. I want to say it could be the 24th of June, but Lynette might know. Lynette, do you?
Yeah, the community development, economic development, and CDA are all going to be June 24th. We have a whole email of it's because there'll be like transportation, us, others. I'll forward that email to the committee.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I think you should take up her request. I mean, look how quickly she got that information, you know? I mean, but I know so, you have a lot to think about, so.
We'll certainly take that into consideration, yes.
Okay. Very eager to please tonight, so. Trying to make a good impression. Okay.
We don't want to make it too easy for people to come and go. So I think, you know, this is an important decision for us to make, and we're deliberating on it.
Fair enough. Any other questions or comments for Jim or the staff or anything else? Xavier has dropped off, so fortunately we were not exciting enough for him to stay the whole time. It's too bad. We will shoot to be more entertaining in June.
Did you notice when he dropped off by any chance?
It was after you started, Jim.
Okay.
That's it for us. You came back just for this meeting. I think Matt Fair is putting in a motion to adjourn, and then we will have a second from Megan. That leaves us. We are all adjourned. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you in a month.